Christ, dear, and peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text is a portion of the lesson just read, the familiar parable of the house built on rock and the house built without a foundation. It may be not so familiar is the fact that the President of the United States has proclaimed today a National Day of Prayer. And it seems especially appropriate, or maybe ironic, that we should observe such a day after having just completed a day of theological reflection, which at least in part spoke of the relationship between church and state. Mr. Reagan acknowledges such a relationship in his proclamation, which reads in part, "Let us as a nation join together before God, aware of the trials that lie ahead and of the need for divine guidance, with unshakable faith in God and the liberty which is our heritage, we as a free nation will continue to grow and prosper." Those words remind me of the familiar motto of our nation, "One Nation Under God." One nation under God. Noble thoughts from our founding fathers, that we as a people united by a common belief in God would move forward as a nation. Although historians may argue that that has never really been the case, we could at least say that it seems that today our nation has moved even farther away from that ideal of the founding fathers. So we can hardly say that many of the things that go on today in our country reflect the fact that we are a so-called God-fearing nation. Or we continue to call ourselves, quote, Christians, but the words of Jesus in our text could certainly be applied to our nation today. As he said, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I say?" And that brings to mind the clamor of many people today who are suggesting that we need to return to the ideal of one nation under God. And there are a number of different approaches to that goal. One such approach is to make this nation a Christian nation. We heard some of that yesterday. It's a fundamental approach, an approach that we might characterize as that of the moral majority, and others who are concerned about influencing legislation, controlling the political process, and championing some kind of morality for us as a nation. That situation is really analogous to the house that is built on the ground in our text. It has no foundation on the rock. It's not able to withstand the storms of time. For that kind of thinking is only a civil righteousness. It's as if God's righteousness is somehow only a civil righteousness. It's as if faith in God is somehow only equal to living a moral life. And we see problems with that approach. First of all, we see the problem that there is no one morally right or Christian position on every issue that faces our society. But much more than that, we see the problem of the confusion between what Luther called the kingdom of the left hand and the kingdom of the right. And our Lutheran confession also makes this distinction when we read in the Apology, "The gospel does not legislate for the civil estate, but is the forgiveness of sins and the beginning of eternal life in the hearts of believers." And again, the Apology says, "The spiritual kingdom does not change the civil government." And so maybe the approach of being one nation under God by making this a Christian nation is not the proper approach. Rather, the proper approach is not to make a Christian nation, but to make a nation of Christians. And there's a big difference between those two approaches. For to make a nation of Christians places the emphasis on the individual. And that's like the man who built his house on the foundation of rock. Jesus describes that man as the one who comes to him, who hears his words, and who does them. And his house is the one that has the foundation and is able to withstand the storm. The emphasis here is on the doing. That is the living of God's word, the living of one Christian faith. Being a witness and an example, doing by Christ. One nation under God. If there is any approach that will achieve that goal, it is by doing. That is by living the Christian faith. And we will not forget that it's God who gives us that very power to do. It's God who works through his word, the word that convicts us of our sin, the word that brings us the blessed good news of God's love in Jesus, the word that assures us and all who believe in him of everlasting life. It is through that God-given power that we have faith in him and the ability to do what is pleasing to God. And it's so it feels appropriate that we as a nation and as individuals should, as Mr. Rosen said, be aware of the need for divine guidance. That is, that we as a nation and as individuals should pause on this day and every day and pray for that divine guidance, for that direction, that power that comes only from God. The important thing that we as pastors and future pastors or simply as Christian citizens can do is not to read some kind of political march or morality crusade, but proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because that is the solid foundation. That is the solid foundation, whether we're building an individual life or one nation under God. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which goes beyond all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.